I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, Back Talk, where we hear what you've got to say, good and bad, about Tell Me More. First, though, our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys get to dish about the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, editor and civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist, and Terrence Harris, a sports writer. I hear the guys want to talk about the two Thomases holding court this week. New York Knicks coach Isaiah Thomas says the jury got it wrong in a sexual harassment suit. And Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas says in his new memoir that his critics got it wrong. And there's that story of a school lesson on racism that maybe went a little too far. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, 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 fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey, what's up, Jimmy?
Doing good, man.
Chilling, man.
All right, well, let's get the ball rolling talking about Madison Square Garden. Isaiah Thomas was found by a jury to have sexually harassed a coworker, with the jury granting Anunka Brown Sanders $11.6 million in damages. Now, Thomas, still declaring his innocence, will have to pay no damages.
Hey,
do we got audio on that?
You guys want to hear the clip?
Sure.
Here's
Isaiah Thomas.
I am innocent. I'm very innocent. And I did not do the things that she accused me in this courtroom of doing. I'm extremely disappointed that the jury could not see the facts in this case. I will appeal this.
Well, there you have it. Take it, Jimmy.
Thanks so much for that, Michelle. Terry, how is this going to affect women working in the sports industry?
Well, I mean, I think it sends the message that you don't have to take some of this locker room stuff that goes on. And I think that's good. I mean, the Knicks were dumb, I think, for going to trial with this.
Wow. Arsalan, you know, women make some very real accusations when this kind of stuff happens, but sometimes there are false accusations. And is there any way to protect yourself from sexual harassment allegations at all?
Jimmy, I think the important thing to understand here is from the legal vantage point, you know, what differentiates this case from, for example, the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas case is that you actually had a jury of her peers all unanimously finding in favor of her. Black, white, men, women. You know, when Isaiah says, you know, I'm innocent, I'm very innocent. That's like somebody saying, you know, I'm guilty, I'm very guilty. It's either you are or you're not.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ruben, do you think 11.6, was that too much money?
It's hard to say. I mean, it may be, obviously, I'm going to leave that decision to the judge and to the jury and to the folks who heard the evidence. I think it sounds a bit excessive, but the point's been made. And, you know, there's a lot about this case we still don't know, may never know. But maybe the lesson overall, this is a serious thing. For all the false charges that are out there related to sexual harassment, it's a real thing. And when it happens in a situation like this, it is a form of sex discrimination. It's a real thing, and it ought to be punished.
With all the beat words and advances he made, he clearly stepped over the line. But you know what, fellas, let's move on. Speaking to somebody else that had some sexual allegations made against him, Clarence Thomas. Now, he appeared on TV 60 Minutes this past Sunday for his first TV interview ever. Terry, did hearing about his poor upbringing at his Black Power college days change your opinion of him at all?
It made it worse, actually, because I'm like, you know, how could this guy, he's gone through some stuff. I mean, I'm thinking he had maybe lived this charmed existence and it never had the issues that are typically faced by Black people. But, I mean, here you find out this guy.
That's Julian Bond. You got somebody else there. I'm just joking.
No, bro, you know, you find out this guy has dealt with discrimination, you know, being poor, you know, being shut out of things. But yet and still, I mean, every time this guy's had a chance to rule, I mean, he's ruled in favor of things that don't jive with civil rights.
Ruben, will Clarence Thomas always be defined by the Anita Hill controversy?
Always.
I mean,
so much so that when we talk about John Roberts, we talk about the Roberts confirmation hearings. But with Thomas, it becomes Thomas Hill. The Thomas Hill hearings, the Thomas Hill confirmation. She is forever married to him in that regard. History will link the two together. And I got to tell you, there's been some evolution on my part. 16 years ago, when I was watching the stuff on television, I bought the line that this was about sexual harassment. I bought the whole thing because it just seemed to me that her memories were so detailed that it would be hard for her to make this up. And I was sort of sympathetic to this idea that women could be preyed upon by their bosses and the like. So I bought it. But now, 16 years later, given everything that I've seen with regard to a whole host of other conservatives of color, Michael Steele in Maryland, Alberto Gonzalez, Janice Rogers Brown, Miguel Estrada, Ho Hum, all these folks, I begin to see a now pattern. I really do think this was not just about sexual harassment anymore. This was about power and about control and about reigning in somebody who had strayed off the, choose your metaphor, plantation, hacienda, reservation, whatever, but a free-thinking, independent-thinking black man who was being told by people like Ted Kennedy, give me a break. Okay, that he needed to pull himself up by his bootstraps. Who is Ted Kennedy
to be
lecturing
people?
Hold on.
I'm sorry, Ruben. I have to interject here because I was at the White House during this whole situation. And I understand what you're coming from, but that seems to imply that her allegations had no merit. She's not the only person to make them. It seems to imply that she's just a tool of the white man. And doesn't that deprive her of her humanity in the same way that you're saying that the white liberals are deprying Clarence Thomas of his?
No. I mean, Michelle,
Michelle,
we're talking about Southern Democrats start to lecture Clarence Thomas on civil rights issues. Hal Heflin, okay? Hal Heflin, whose uncle was a member of the Klan, and who, you know, used to defend it on the House of the, on the Senate floor. What I want is a third way. I want to say I believe Anita Hill's claims had some merit. I also believe that what took place in that hearing room, my goodness, went way beyond sexual harassment. I can't believe that Ted Kennedy, you know, who has groped some butt in his time, okay, was so outraged at these charges that he went to bat for Anita Hill.
I think the record would show that nobody went to bat for Anita Hill, as evidenced by the fact that Clarence Thomas has a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Terrence Harris, and Arsalan Iftikhar talk about this week's news in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
All right, well, let's keep it moving and talk about what's happening from coast to coast. Yo, we got this crazy nooses just happening everywhere. You know, at the Coast Guard, recently some nooses were found in the rooms of some cadets, and we had the deaf student who had swastikas and KKK written on his body. And let's talk about the thing at Grambling State University, where teachers put nooses around the necks of some kindergarten and first graders' necks in an effort to teach a lesson about the impact of such symbols. Now, these were black teachers that did this, but Ruben, is it a good idea to employ schools to, you know, teach social values like this?
Not at that age. I mean, kindergarten, I would say the same thing no matter what. If there are some hard facts to be taught to, say, Latino kids who are in kindergarten, fine, but don't do it when they're in kindergarten. This is something to be taught later. The disturbing image of them sort of walking around with chains and, you know, under as a teaching exercise, and this is how the nooses work and all this. This is not appropriate, and this is not something that young people need to be exposed to. This is something they will learn soon enough. I understand it was sort of, you know, well-meaning, and this is how we teach history, and then, you know, by walking around with chains, you're going to learn what this was like. It just seemed like it was a charade in some respects, and it was really disrespectful and inappropriate.
T. Harris, now, you both, me and you, are parents. Now, suppose one of these was your kids. How would you feel about this? Do you think they learned anything?
That's the first thing I thought about is my daughter, you know, who's a first grader. And if she went to school and came home with this type of information and had gone through that, I would be livid that they didn't discuss this with me before they introduced this to my child and burdened her with this at 6, 7 years old. That's so unfair, I mean, and just thoughtless. And, I was just stunned. I mean, there was no place for this, no need for this. I mean, I don't even know that those kids needed to even be dealing with Gen 6 or any of that stuff right now.
Right.
They're 5 and 6 years old.
Can I ask you something, though, guys? Can I just bring up this whole news business? Like Jimmy was talking about the Coast Guard, and then there was a situation at Gallaudet University, which is the University for the Deaf in Washington, D.C., with this kid. Mm-hmm. What is up with the whole news thing? Is it like some virus sweeping the country?
I think it was Gen 6. I really think it was Gen 6. Right. I think it was the national the national profile that you know that case got. It became the sort of symbol of it. And I mean, going back to the Grambling State thing, also, you know, I think that you know it's you're just entering a very slippery slope here.
Hey, Train, I think it's just kids just need cheap thrills. That's all I think it is. I don't think the kids understand the impact of these symbols.
Yeah, that's the problem, Jimmy. I don't think a 5-year old would know the difference between a cheap thrill and you know an expensive thrill. I mean, think about it. Just from a rational objective perspective, there's no educational value in this. What is the educational value in placing a rope around a 6-year-old's neck? I mean,
you know what I find disturbing? Sorry, the find disturbing about this. In Gina, after the protest, you know, 10,000 people show up in Gina, and there's some ignorant white folks who are driving a pickup truck along with nooses dragging from the back at the protest, right? As if to say, oh, I get it. This symbol bothers you. Well, let me show you the symbol some more. And so, you know, we collectively spoke out against that symbol and talked about it for what it was. And in return, what we got was folks saying, oh, well, now that I know it really bothers you guys, well, let me bring out some more nooses. It's just insane. It shouldn't happen.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about the race for 08. Wait a second. Reuben, didn't Rudy Giuliani just do like a John Kerry kind of deal when he flip-flopped? You know, because, correct me if I'm wrong, he used to be pro-immigration. But now he was visiting that Philly stand in Philly called Geno's, where they demand you to speak English, talking about that he's down with that. You know, isn't he doing some flip-flopping right about now?
That's right. Geno's, they say, you speak English or no cheesesteak for you.
Right.
Pretty much.
And that's what they do, and it's tripping. And they do that, and he showed up, and he made an attempt to go out there. And this was not an accident. If you go to the Rudy Giuliani website, you see that he actually promoted his visit to Geno's sub shop in Philadelphia. And so I don't know if it's a hard flip, but I know it's a move to the right. He is trying very hard to assuage the concerns of some in his conservative Republican base that he can get really tough on illegal immigration. I'm all for it. If he gets tough on illegal immigration, I'm good with that. The problem is it usually takes folks about 5 minutes before they become tough on legal immigration. Right. And suddenly it becomes about immigration in general and immigrants in general and foreigners in general. And that's just flat out wrong. It's old time nativism and xenophobia. By all means, make it about the illegals.
Could I ask Arsalan a question though? Can you do that? Can you refuse to serve people?
No.
What if you're a tourist? What if you're a Japanese tourist and you're visiting?
It falls under the
sites and you can't speak
that's
English.
A great question, Michelle. It falls under the public accommodation aspect of our constitutional protection. And even the owner of Geno said that we've never refused anybody. This is more of a political symbol. And I do agree with Ruben. I think this is sort of Giuliani's fast food pandering to the Minutemen here. Next week it could be some minor league baseball stadium saying they're not going to let anyone in, you know, unless they can sing the Star Spangled Banner in English.
Well, you know what? I think Giuliani's just refining his position. That's what I think. You know what? With that, we gotta wrap. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Gentlemen, thanks so much for stopping in. I got to kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Yeah, Jimmy's refining his position, right?
Jimmy's always refining that.
Did you hear how worked up he was about the whole sexual harassment thing? He's like, Arsalan, what do I do? What do I do? A little nervous, are we, Jimmy?
Okay, here we go.
Jimmy Israel joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. He's a freelance writer. Ruben Navarrete joined us from KPBS in San Diego, California. He writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine. He joined us from our studios in Washington. And Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from KUHF in Houston. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michelle.
You bet. Thank you.
Yep, yep.